produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Once again, thank you for joining me on Rev. Lydia Speaks on the Josie's Inspiration Network and the Finding My Way Network. I have a question for you. When you hear the word grateful, what does it make you think of? There is the regular definition of deep appreciation for something or someone or some incident, but in this case, I'm speaking of a deep, unending joy that rises up from within, seemingly out of nowhere. Have you ever opened your eyes first thing in the morning and had that same feeling of excitement that you had as a kid, you know, when you knew that this day was special? Maybe it was your birthday or Christmas, or maybe it was the first day of summer vacation. Well, that zest, that joy, is what a truly grateful heart feels like all of the time. I call it unbridled enthusiasm. A knowing that whatever happens that day, God is with you. A heart full of gratitude is powerful because it allows us to share God's goodness with the world. To know that His goodness does not change according to what we do or what we fail to do, it's steadfast as we continue to give thanks and praise. Let's remember that, and let's remember to emulate all of it. In other words, you know those times where we are kind to others, but we got some conditions? We cannot fail to remember all of the times that we ourselves have fallen short, but God in His unwavering love surrounds us still. Even in our most destitute conditions, we should remember that God can and will be there to see you through. even when it seems you're not being delivered from the place where you're suffering. God is there to walk you through that suffering if you keep your heart and mind focused on Him. Giving thanks is not and should not be a one-time thing. Our worship should be as continual as God's love for us. We should have continuous joys and praises and thanksgiving on our lips, especially in times of grief. I say this even as right now I'm grieving. I have a very good friend of almost 50 years, and she's on the verge of making her transition. Now, the loss I feel is not because she's transitioned already, but rather that she's in limbo. Now, what I mean by that is that she's been told that her condition is terminal, and she has very little time left on this plane. She's accepted that fact, but because of the pain, there are very strong meds given to her, and that causes the side effects that alter her thoughts. In short, she's struggling, but yet she's still holding on to everything in this material world in which we live. Now, in the few lucid times when I've spoken to her, I've spoken to her of being grateful, grateful to see her face and to hear her voice yet another day. But for me, it is not easy to see that once vibrant soul that chuckled at nothing become depressed to the point of why bother. Now, I understand that she herself is grieving, and as she put it, not being able to see the faces of those she loves, the fact that she thinks she's a burden and that her son has no patience with her. And I can't even begin to imagine how it feels hanging on, not knowing when the end is coming and not being excited for the next leg of my journey. I have no idea how she thinks in those times when she's alone, but I do know that she's a believer. So I send her notes and texts of songs and praises and pictures of things of beauty that I pray will touch that ember within her that I know is still there, hoping to spark it into the flame that cannot be contained, of joy of going to meet her Savior. God's name is glorified each time we give thanks and worship with our whole being. It brings power and the strength to give all to God, knowing that whether He heals us on this side or the next side of the veil, we'll be made whole. Giving thanks should be done through every aspect of our lives. The very way we live should be a blueprint for how wonderful it is to live a Christ-centered life. That no matter how old you are, you can still see things through the eyes of wonder like an excited child we once were. While it is great to sing songs of praise in church on Sunday, each day should be treated as if it was the Sabbath, because in truth, they are all the Lord's days. And if you're unsure of what to give thanks for, start with the fact that you're able to wake up, open your eyes and see, the fact that you can put your feet on the floor and feel the ground beneath them, that you can dress yourself without assistance, and even more importantly, that you have a song in your heart that even the angels cannot sing, because it's yours alone. And every blessing that you have ever received is yours alone. What one person may see as something minute that barely is worth giving any attention to, someone else may feel it's the most important part of their day. So your praise is personal, and you have a right to enjoy it whenever and wherever you decide. Whenever you get that wave of joy within, if you are in a place that you can't shout, then do it on the inside. And even doing that little bit changes the dynamic of things in your atmosphere for the better. Now, people may even tell you that you glow. I've had that happen before. Shocked me. But joy to the soul is like the proper nutrition to the body. When you have a grateful heart, you attract more for which to be grateful. God's word is true when he says that he will open the window of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you can't explain and may not have room to contain it. But that's another sermon. That sermon's on giving, and that's for another time. For right now, just refuse to go backwards in your faith. Praise yourself into the future you desire. What you speak over your life, believing it will come to pass. And as I like to say, gratitude brings plentitude. So if you desire the all good of God to show up and show out in your life, you need to be grateful for what you have. Despise not the small things. We're coming to what I hope is the ending of this pandemic that has destroyed so many people's lives. So I'm telling you to be grateful for that also? No. But I am telling you to be grateful for what you have learned that you can do during this time in order to survive. Grateful to have had those people in your lives for as long as you were blessed to have them. Grateful that you are still here and that you find the purpose in your life, that the friends and family that are no longer with us in flesh will be honored by the work you now do. Like supporting someone who has lost what little joy they had and helping them find the meaning to life again. Be grateful for each sunrise and each sunset. There was a time when I was young and I had just lost my mother that I couldn't understand why God picked her, why he left me here at a time when a little girl needs her mom the most to help navigate this world. He left me alone, or so I thought. Then a nun said something to me that struck me as completely odd. She said that my mom would always be with me and by my side, and that if I listened hard enough, I would hear her prompting me. Now you all know what I wanted to yell at that old lady. Through my 10-year-old pain and lack of understanding, I wanted to say, if you don't shut up somewhere, go away and leave me alone. But the funny thing is, there was no way that I thought that could ever happen. But she was right. And here, 55 years later, I can still think of something my mom would have done or said at a particular time. And I am grateful in a number of ways. As you practice finding the joy and being grateful for things, people, and incidents that grow you, you will find the gratitude, like grief, comes in waves. The more you need it, the higher the wave, until it envelops you and picks you up out of whatever despair you are in. Just try it. Whether you call it finding the silver lining, the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, or the rainbow at the end of the storm, it's your covenant. Just as God put a rainbow in the sky after the flood, this is your covenant with God. His promise to you that when praises go up, blessings come down. I got an extra blessing during that time because that old nun stayed around a long time, long enough for me to grow and understand and become more confident in my faith and knowing that God said he would send the Holy Spirit as a comforter. I allowed that to happen. And one day, I wasn't even thinking about her. I got to see her, and she was quite a bit older because I was grown. And I reminded her of what she said, and I reminded her of what I wanted to say to her. And I apologized, and then I thanked her because her words made me look deeper into myself. Her words made me think before I spoke out loud in my pain. And I believed her. And she said, oh, I know. I saw it in your eyes. You probably wanted to hit me. But there again, your mother had trained you so well, and you had such great manners. You just said, thank you, sister, and you walked away. Wow. That's something that she remembered, and I will never forget. But when you think about giving praise and honor and glory And just being grateful for the fact that you have the right to give praise and honor and glory, that should just make you overwhelmingly, sublimely grateful. I'm grateful for being able to share all of this with all of you. I am grateful for the beautiful young sister that is our producer. I am grateful that she allowed God to use her to the point that she could help others be used. And I am grateful that even walking through her own storms, she knows how to praise, and that she will never forget how to praise. And if she ever does, I'm grateful that she knows that there are those of us who will stand in the gap for anything and everything that she needs. And you know, it's funny about being grateful and giving up praises. You don't have to know what's wrong with someone. You don't have to know what they need. You just have to know that they need. And you can pray without knowing what's going on. You can stand in the gap for people. You can be grateful for others, just like you're grateful for yourself. And I am oh so grateful for the things I have learned in this 65 years of life, which doesn't seem quite long when you look at it. Sometimes it seems longer than most. But I am very, very grateful for what I've learned. And for the fact that my lessons are not over, because as long as there is life, there is learning. And as long as there is learning, there are more things to be learned. Things that you may not even be able to think about. But when they come up, it may take you a minute. But when you get to yourself, you can say, oh, there was a blessing in that. And you can find it. And I ask you to find the blessing in your life. To find the purpose in your life, to sit down quiet enough, long enough, and intense enough to hear the Holy Spirit prompt you, telling you which way to go. And when that happens, don't second guess. You will learn to know the difference between something that you're just hoping and the true voice of our living God. There is a difference. And if you're not sure, ask him to show you. God has shown me things and let me know that it was him by something as simple as putting a book on a shelf that kept falling down. And it fell, and I'd pick it up, and it fell, and I'd pick it up. And in my frustration, I went to pick it up and noticed that every time it fell open to this one particular part. And as I read it, it was just what I needed. Now, people say things like that, and I had never believed it until it happened to me. I call it my life visioning, because as I can envision things happening for my life, they manifest. And if I can't hold the thought long enough for it to manifest, then the Holy Spirit seems to have ways to let things happen, to give me that extra time for me to say, oh, okay, and have an aha moment, the aha moment that I needed. It's instinctual. When you decide to look and understand God long enough and seek his face thoroughly, things happen that you may not even want to share with people because they might think you're crazy. But as I said before, your praise and your purpose are personal. That's what you need to remember. Your praise, your purpose are personal. So the Holy Spirit acts on you in that personal way that only you could catch. The things that I may believe, the way he would show it to you, you may not understand it. So he shows you in your own unique way. And he lets you know that it's him. I am so very grateful for that. I am so very grateful to have a grateful heart, that even when I have my 10 minutes of personal pity time, and I only give myself 10 minutes, that's all it takes. Then the next 10 minutes, I turn around everything that I thought negatively, and I put a positive spin on it. And I have to laugh at myself sometimes because it seems quite childish, But when you're having a personal pity party and you're as blessed as I am of God, that is childish. And we do, we throw temper tantrums. Well, I wouldn't say he threw a temper tantrum, but when Christ was hungry and the fig tree didn't have anything on it for him, he cursed the fig tree. And it doesn't sound like my Jesus, but the human side of him made him do that. The human side of me sometimes make me sit quietly and stew, as my mother would call it, in my juices of pity. But now, just as fast as I can stew, I can come out of it. It's like a whirlwind of feelings. Allow yourself to feel that whirlwind, knowing that there is an end to the pain, and knowing that there is joy and light at the end of the tunnel, and that you are not walking through that long, dark tunnel alone. Psalm 23 says, as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because thou art with me. Carry that with you. Carry just that thought with you, that nothing, nothing outside of God himself can touch you. Nothing can harm you. And people say, well, look at this pandemic. Why did God let that happen? Wasn't he there with us? Isn't he there with us? And the answer to that is yes. And yes, we are coming out, and we may have to have a new normal, because we may have to change a lot of things in order for that vortex of energy of gratefulness to spin faster and to change. But I want you to remember this, his promise to you: when praises go up, blessings come down. God is not a man that he can lie. And I want you to believe that everything, every word of every promise that God has ever made is there, it is true, and if you allow it to come into your life at the moments that you need it most, it will always be there. Right now, I want to tell you that this is Reverend Lydia, and I've been through and am going through the same challenges that you have. And I have admonished myself for thinking differently. But God forgives. And it was up to me to forgive myself. I want you to walk blessed, think blessed, live blessed, and be blessed. Goodbye for now.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
So all alone, I'd say. If I never knew you, what if I never knew the power of your love? And what if I never realized, because of mercy, you would cleanse.
Hello, this is author Tammy T. Pope, and this is I Write My Way Through Life, and you can too. I want to break down the phrase, I write my way through life, and help the current or aspiring author to realize the magnitude of that statement and how it applies to them in their writing journey. First, the words, I write. Plain and simple. We all deal with and process things in life differently. For those of us who write, writing is healing. It's therapeutic. It saves lives in more ways than one. The fact that we write holds a special place in our heart because we understand that the blank page or even the blank computer screen can be your best friend. And that is because it is not judgmental. It does not talk back. It doesn't interrupt. It is always there. And it can hold your tears and your fears. Knowing most of all, how to keep a secret. And for that reason, many of us choose to write. Another reason why we choose to write is simply because it's freeing. You write to get the things out in your head that you cannot verbalize to anybody else because they won't get it. Also, for those who feel like they have no voice, writing gives them the avenue to share their questions, comments, thoughts, concerns, and observations. You write because sometimes that is all you have to cope with whatever you're going through. So you write. I tell people all the time that the first book I ever published was written because I got mad. And I wrote about the feelings that I had. Why do you write? Think about that. Second thing, I write my way. Now, there are a myriad of writing styles and approaches out there. But writing your way has value. Whether you write to entertain, persuade, in or inform, or to gather support, writing your way appeals to somebody. You may not be everybody's cup of tea with the way that you write, but that's okay. You don't have to be everybody's cup of tea. People have their favorite genres. People have their favorite authors. People have their favorite topics that they want to read about. Some people like erotica. Some like clean literature. Some like urban fiction. Some like autobiographical fiction. Whatever way you write works for somebody. You just have to do your due diligence in finding those people. That's why your keywords and things of that nature are important, as well as your marketing. You want to make sure that the people who need you can find you. So continue to write your way. Me, I write with a lot of sass. I'm very frank. I can be blunt, and I'll back it up with scripture. There are a lot of people who are angered when they read my stuff, but that has not changed how Tammy writes. Because on the other side of that, there are people who will say, I needed that. Thanks for the break from reality. Thanks for the help. That is what you look for. Next, I write my way through. There will be times where what you pen could be the very thing that changes your life. I remember a time when $12 book sales took care of my family. I remember having cash in my hand and looking around my house and saying, what can I do with this $12 in my hand to keep my family going? You may be in a situation where what you write will open the door or help you make the money that you need to get over the hump so that you can live to fight another day. Not only that, you writing your way through may be what helps somebody else to get through what they are going through. The fact that you put your heart on paper and wrote your way through whatever your situation was or is going to help somebody. It has been said that necessity is the mother of invention. It just may be that there is a need that you have or a need that someone else has, that there aren't resources for that need being met. So you write your way through your journey of healing and come up with a process, a regimen, or whatever you want to call it for someone else in your situation to be able to make it through. So continue to write your way through. And that takes us into I write my way through life. What you pen may be what you learned as you have lived this thing called life. What you learned as a child, a teenager, an adult, what you continue to learn. It could be that those stories that you were told as a child that you knew were made up, those could be stories that you share for the children around you or the children around this world. Those budget tips, recipes, job skills, training, the things that you have picked up and have written your way through in life can help somebody. I tell people all the time that life is full of content. Content can come from anywhere. Your daily journal can be turned into something awesome, be it fiction or non. Writing your way through life could be what saves you. Your story is meant to save or to change someone's life, faith, family, ministry, and or their business. So you're doing the world a disservice by keeping it to yourself. Next is I write my way through life and. Now that and can be whatever you need it to be. write your way through life and abuse, life and divorce, life and love, life and ministry. What is it that you are writing your way through at this point? And what is it going to do? Now, I'm going to go over three questions at the end to kind of help you wrangle each one of these areas in. But I want you to think about each of these and ask yourself, what can I do with what I've written? Now, does that mean that everything that you write needs to be out there? No. Discretion will be needed, because there may be some things that don't need to be out there at all, or things that you need to hold on to for a minute. So finally, I write my way through life and business. Now, this is me in a nutshell. Writing your way through life and business means that you're sharing those things that life and business have in common. I once wrote a book about how building a business is a lot like raising a baby. And in that, you have teething, you have growing pains, you have growth spurts, you have sleepless nights, you have those times when you don't want to sleep because you're scared that you're not going to miss something. And you're so sleepy, you don't know whether to lay down or cry. What things in life and business have crossed for you that has made a positive or even a negative impact in your life that you want somebody else to not have to go through? So when I say I write my way through life and business, and you can too, I want you to go back and listen to each one of these and take the time to process them. Where are you in each one of these? And if you have something that you've already done, I want you to look at it and ask it three questions. What now? I've written it. What do I do now? Then, now what? I've written it. I know what to do now. Now, what do I do in order to make that happen? And what else? Now, I'm going to spend the rest of my time on what else, because what else is a place where a lot of authors trip themselves up. They think that their book is supposed to stay on the page. It's not. Can you teach from it? Can you turn it into an online course? Can you hold a workshop? Can you turn it into a coaching program? Can you turn it into a small group study? Can you use it in your church? Can you pull out of it and create a workbook? Can you build an entire business off of the premise of it? What else can it be? Can it be adapted for a corporate setting? Can it be adapted for a younger audience? What else can you do with it? What else can you pull from it? Because I guarantee you, if you sit down with your book or whatever you're writing and you're looking at it, there are some other ideas that come to mind. And even if they never see the light of day, you know that you have other options. You may not want it printed. Talk about it. Can it be used for speaking engagements? Can it be used for you to launch a podcast off of? What else can you do with what you've penned to preserve its longevity? If you don't have a clue, reach out to me, Dynamically Different author Tammy T. Polk, on Facebook. Let's talk about you writing your way, writing your way through, writing your way through life, writing your way through life and that other area, or even writing your way through life and business. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And as always, God bless, Godspeed, in all that you do. Keep charging and never stop yourself from writing.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
I know how you feel, fighting for another breath, searching for the strength to lift your legs another step. Wounded by the past, how long will it last? Buried by the heavy weight, it won't be long. Keep holding on, you won't have to wear those chains. Help is on the way. Heaven's on your side. Every prayer is heard. Your rescue's coming just in time. Lift up your eyes, look to the hills. You won't be overcome. It won't be long. Keep holding on, sure as the rising sun. Help is on the way.
Help is on the way. you feel, but it isn't over yet. Help is on the way. Help is on the way. Whatever the struggle, whatever the pain, no matter the fear or the battle you face, help is on the way. Help is on the way. Help is on the way. Help is on the way.
Thank you for listening to the Weight of the World radio show hosted by Suzanne Mosley, author of the Southern Fried Keto Foodie Cookbook Series. The following program is not a source of medical advice. Suzanne Mosley and the coaches for the Southern Fried Keto Foodie are not medical doctors, dietitians, or nutritionists. Please consult your doctor regarding information discussed on the show or before beginning any type of weight loss program.
Hi everyone, today I want to share with you what happened when I went lazy keto for a month. I'm sure by now you've heard the terms strict keto, lazy keto, and dirty keto. But do you know how each of these mindsets can affect you and your plan? Today I want to share with you an experiment that I tried myself to see exactly how, specifically, lazy keto affected my way of life. Welcome again to the Weight of the World radio program on Lifted Authors Network. I'm your host, Suzanne Mosley, author of the Southern Fried Keto Foodie Cookbook Series and Ketogenic Lifestyle Coach. Within my broadcasts, my purpose is not only to guide you along your ketogenic path, but also help you navigate other factors that play into your success from everyday life. When coaching my clients, I like to take a big picture perspective, because your health is not only the result of what you eat, but also what you surround yourself with. Any of you just joining in may not know exactly what I'm talking about in terms of strict keto, lazy keto, and dirty keto, so let me give you a little description of each. Strict keto is when you're vigilant about not only your macros counts, but also your ingredients, and know exactly what foods to avoid that you may already know that you have sensitivities to. Your strict keto plan will be a personalized plan that revolves around your health concerns and maybe even medical concerns, depending on what your doctor has told you, that you need to address. Ingredients are a key focus when it comes to a strict keto plan. Many who use strict keto plans have been directed by a physician to begin keto, or you've worked hand in hand with a keto coach to ensure you have success with your new way of life. Now, dirty keto is where you concern yourself more with just your macros counts, and you allow yourself whatever you want as long as you don't go above those macros limits. People in the dirty keto category often eat low-carb tortillas, wheat flour as an ingredient, or gluten-based prepackaged foods labeled as keto. Those can be very misleading. This category of people are honestly typically the ones who fall off plan more often than most, because ingredients really do make a difference in results, as well as battling that terrible willpower beast. Continuing to consume ingredients such as grains and sugar actually continue to perpetuate the carb addiction cycle, which can be a constant struggle for many. Now on to lazy keto, which is actually the basis for my dietary experiment that I want to share with you today. Lazy keto is where you eat keto-friendly foods, but decide that counting macros is not something you really want to do. Your ingredients may be 100% compliant, but you may or may not be consuming more than you should. Most lazy ketoers are either beginners who think that logging food is a pain, or veterans who believe that they have it down pat and their bodies will tell them to stop eating. I fall in the veteran category since I've been on keto for over 4 years consistently. So what led me to try lazy keto? Well, the past 12 months have been crazy to say the least. I'm pretty sure everybody can agree with that. And from the pandemic to working on expansions in our business, as well as typical life events, stress has been a major factor. And well, it just seemed like a good time to try the lazy keto way, because I always knew what I needed to do, but I wanted to see if I could really get away with not paying that close attention to my dietary needs and limitations. And one less thing to worry about daily sounded pretty good to me, so I decided to give this experiment a go. On the first morning, it felt weird not to log my bulletproof coffee of the day, and my lack of following through with my usual steps bugged me all day long. I'm kind of a creature of habit, so this was annoying in itself, but I was determined to see what my body could actually tell me each day. After a few days, I noticed that the scale stayed the same, which was exactly how it was supposed to be because I've been in maintenance for 2 years. I did not change my activity habits or have a reason for reduction in my macros to compensate. I thought to myself at this point, well, looks like I might actually be successful on this lazy keto plan. After week one, we had the typical unexpected life events that gave some temporary anxiety. For the next 3 or so days, I actually overate protein due to emotional eating. I purposefully steered clear of any additional carb items, but overate my protein by probably 30 to 40-ish grams a day. This is literally the equivalent of about a 5 to 6 ounce chicken breast. Doesn't seem like much, huh? Well, after those 3 days, I noticed my scale increased by 0.2 of a pound. No big deal, right? Little did I know, it was just the beginning of a downward spiral, or for better terminology, the beginning of an uphill climb on the scale. The next few days, I tried to back down my protein and satisfy my cravings with additional fats. The problem I incurred was that I ate way too much fat and had negative effects such as sour stomach and mild indigestion. Because I was overeating what my body used for fuel, my scale did not go down. Over the next 2 weeks, I really let go. I just wanted to see what would happen if I went completely lazy keto and stopped keeping up with any of my macros. I think your mind's going to be blown when you hear that on day 30, I gained 17 pounds of excess weight. 17 pounds in 30 days from still eating keto compliant foods, just not tracking them. And you take in consideration stress and daily activities and things getting in the way, it was kind of easy for that to happen. I wanted to cry, even though I knew that I had not cheated from keto-friendly foods at all. And this is where a lot of people who do lazy keto start to get frustrated. This is why I'm sharing this with you guys. Throughout the progression of this trial, I saw such small differences each day that it didn't really alarm me until the end. If I had ventured to give a guess before I stepped on the scale, I would have thought I'd only gained 5 to 7 pounds. But the scale told me just how wrong I was. Even as a coach, this experience was truly eye-opening. I already knew the science behind why lazy keto is hard to be successful at, but to see how many more added obstacles this type of keto created to my plan, it became apparent to me that I was not one who could ever really do lazy keto. And I'm sure I'm not the only one out there who's felt that way. So before you start to think, well, that stinks, let me assure you that it's not really that big of a deal, and here's why. I've been keto for over 4 years. For the entire duration of my new way of living, I've become accustomed to the limitations in food choices. Now, previous to keto, I did have some limitations to food choices as I've had food allergies. I truly have never felt better than when I stay on track with my plan. And knowing how much better I feel since beginning keto, I don't want to go back to daily experiences of fatigue, brain fog, joint pain, and more. Just this alone keeps me motivated to stay compliant. As for tracking my macros, I've simplified my process and incorporated it for so long that logging my food takes mere seconds out of my day. I simply log my foods when I sit down and before I take my first bite, so it really isn't as inconvenient as you would think. Sometimes I think that people allow their fear or frustration with adding another daily task to your life inflate the complexity of the actual action. In other circumstances in my life, I've experienced this hesitation, such as a project that may seem daunting. I may put it off until the deadline just to realize once I'm done that it really only took a brief period of time and was easier than I thought. I'm sure many of you have felt the same way in different tasks in your life. Don't let your mind overinflate this menial task. Once you get your pattern of tracking down pat, whether it be an app or just jotting your daily consumables down on a notepad, it becomes second nature and really blends into your normal daily activities. Just to give you an idea of how I track, I actually use the Lose It app. I began with this app and just kind of stuck with it even though other carb tracking apps became available. Like I said before, I'm kind of a creature of habit. What I like about this app is that I can add my own recipes to a database to pull my foods from. I can also pull from verified sources via the app, as well as add my own ingredients and adjust for net carbs, naming each item to remind me that I've already adjusted them. It gives me the option to solely pull from my own list or others that have been uploaded. This gives me the flexibility that works best for my situation. You may find that there are other apps you prefer better. The best tip I can give you for app searching is to always verify the information on the food before just accepting it that what's been uploaded is correct. I usually find more mistakes than they're probably aware of. The free version of the Lose It app works well for the minimum information I need to track, but there is a paid version that also allows you to track water intake, sleep, and other aspects as well. After going through this experiment, it has taken a bit of time to get the extra pounds off. It's not been fun. I won't be doing this again anytime soon. The first week of correcting my dietary plan, I lost 5 pounds, which leaves me about 12 more pounds to go. It's just like trying to get back into a workout routine after taking a break from it. Some days are harder than others, but knowing the end result is achievable, I've already achieved and I know that I can maintain it. It motivates me to just push through and get back to right where I was, where I felt my best every day. Once you experience the difference in activity levels and less brain fog, you really don't want to go back to the sluggish daily experiences that I had pre-keto. If you decide to go lazy keto and are seeing the same results that I did, let me give you some advice on how to get back on track. My first suggestion is to understand that you may experience a few issues that are common to beginning keto. The first one you may experience is the wretched keto flu. You will most likely release a lot of fluid in your first week or two, leaving yourself vulnerable to electrolyte imbalances again. Be sure to stay hydrated and eat magnesium and potassium-rich foods. If you feel the need to add supplements, always check with your doctor to make sure you're taking the proper amounts and the proper types. This will help with muscle cramps and body aches that can be typical of going back into ketosis. Another suggestion for you is to start using fat as a satisfier again. When many people start keto, the increased fat allowance helps to assist in getting over cravings, emotional eating habits, and random eating. It shouldn't take but a week or two, or three for some, to get past those stressors that are commonly categorized as the willpower battle. Once you get back into fat adaptation, backing down on those higher dietary fat levels will help assist you in your weight loss journey, depending on your individual plan. Remember that you want your body to burn your internal fat stores because that is where your weight loss comes from. Just don't forget to eat fat. Your body and brain needs healthy fats for optimal health, so be sure to get in what you need, no matter where you are in your process. Going low fat is actually counterproductive to your goals, so don't let that misconception mislead you. Eat a good balance of protein and healthy fats, and look at each net carb that you eat as, for lack of better terms, your margin of error. Carbs are everywhere, and unless you go 100% carnivore, you will have to allot for some of these carbs. Although most meats and fats are carb-free, there may still be carbs present in your foods. Take, for example, this is a great example, eggs are considered a meat or a protein, yet they have a net carb amount of roughly 0.4 to 0.5 carbs per egg. Even though eggs are considered a solid protein, trace carbs are still present. Same goes with cheese. Most cheeses are carb-free. However, cheeses kind of like mozzarella, can still have trace carbs even with a raw, fresh product. Hard cheeses tend to be the ones with zero carbs, such as cheddar and Parmesan. These sources of extra carbs can create what is known as carb creep, which refers to sneaky little carbs that you're unaware of, making it into your plan under the radar. And it's a lot easier than you think to have carb creep show up in your plan. The next suggestion is to look at your current position and create your plan to resume tracking from that point, not where you first began. If you've lost a considerable amount of weight on keto prior to backtracking due to lazy keto, you will not have the need for your original beginning macros counts. You need to reevaluate your macros counts and needs from where you stand presently. And if you have doubts on how to calculate your new macros, feel free to reach out to me and we can book an appointment to do a macros evaluation for you. You're most likely going to feel a little reluctant to start strict keto again. Seems everyone experiences some level of frustration with starting over. This is normal with any lifestyle change, though. Athletic people who tend to fall off their schedules of consistently working out will even tell you that it takes some determination to get back. It has to do with creating and breaking habits. I don't even have to tell you that once you get back on track, it'll be much easier to stay on track because you already know this. And when you do get back on track, remember to use your lazy keto experiences to motivate you to steer clear of repeating this in the future. My final suggestion for today's show is to focus one day at a time. Yes, I know it sounds rather cliche, but it really is a great suggestion. No matter what every day holds, I just try to do better and be better the next day than I was the day before. In my faith and in my accomplishments, as well as my failures, every night I give it all to Jesus, and every morning I remind myself that I only need to be better today than I was yesterday. I do the same with my daily health plan. If I struggled with something one day, I make it my next day's goal to just improve on that aspect while keeping my other positive habits in motion as well. I use this technique to help stretch me to my fullest potential each day. This is essentially how I also started my keto plan. One day I could have struggled with resisting off-plan foods, and on the next day I just focused on ignoring and redirecting my attention away from those temptations. The next day, I could have realized something I really enjoyed was not as strictly keto as I needed, such as hidden ingredients that I didn't realize were there, and now I have to get rid of the item. And I started focusing on weaning those things out of my diet plan the next day. How can I weed that out? How can I make it to where that's not a stumbling block for me? That was my goal. A great example of this is artificial sweeteners. In the beginning of my plan, artificial sweeteners were considered, you know, a personal choice. You know, but they were just too common and convenient to really want to remove. But I came to a point where I realized that aspartame in the soda that I enjoyed so much was stalling me. Same goes for those store shelf sugar-free coffee syrups. I loved them until I realized that the sucralose was causing me to stall, and I had to remove them from my diet. Let me tell you exactly how much I enjoyed those coffee syrups. I loved them so much in my coffee that I pushed myself to find a way to replace them. And along with that, my love for specialty coffee shop drinks. This is why I published our Coffee Creations book. In working towards writing that book, I now know how to recreate just about any of my favorite coffee flavors without compromising my plan. I was on a messenger session with a member who was getting started on keto the other night, and she asked about coffee because she loves coffee. She asked how much coffee I drink, and I responded that I almost always have a coffee in my hand. I followed up with a pic that I had taken while I was messaging her of my giant 32-ounce tumbler currently in my hand full of peppermint mocha. It was 10:35 at night. I like to have decaf dessert-style drinks as my dessert most night because it not only gets rid of my sweet tooth, but it helps if I'm lacking in macros that I can use that to kind of equal out my plan for the day. I can use my coffee as a supplement to fulfill those needs. If I need protein, I can add collagen peptides. If I need fats, I can add in MCT oil or butter. And I use very little cream, so the carb counts are minimal. This makes a great tool for those who have those late night sweet tooth urges as well, because it can help curb that, especially if you tend to, you know, go for those keto sweet treats. If you're feeling like you're overwhelmed getting back on track, just take it one step at a time. Use your creative knowledge to improve your plan one day at a time, and you will eventually look back and realize that the time passed by anyway. At least now you can look back and see that every baby step you took added up to the accomplishments you are celebrating today. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you're interested in learning more about the ketogenic diet and how it can help you in your journey to better health, please check out our page and join our free support group on Facebook. You can also find us on Pinterest, Instagram, and Twitter. Check out our cookbook series, The Southern Fried Keto Foodie, in paperback and Nook version through barnesandnoble.com, or you can find us in digital form as well on Amazon Kindle. If you're in need of a coach to help you create your own ketogenic plan, feel free to contact us for more information on how we can assist you. Email us at arthur@southernfriedketofoodie.com to request an information packet regarding our services. And don't forget to join us every month for more episodes of Weight of the World. For showtimes, follow my Weight of the World or Southern Fried Keto Foodie Facebook pages. I hope you all have a wonderful rest of the day.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.